الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم أكرمنا بنور الفهم وأخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وافتح علينا بمعرفة العلم وسهل أخلاقنا بالحلم وجعلنا مما يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So before we start again, it's just if the ladies would like to come down and sit on the right-hand side, they're most welcome to do so, inshallah. If they're comfortable upstairs, no worries. Just to touch on briefly what we spoke about last week. Last week, we ended off with kafa'a, which was suitability. And it was very important to note there that that type of suitability, which we discussed certain traits over there, was, you know, when we're speaking about annulment, when there is actually rules or laws for annulment, when there's no compatibility. It also touched on a bit of what to look for in a spouse. Then we moved on and we discussed some intimacy, you know, what is the rights of a husband and what's the rights of a wife, which I didn't go too much into. I think we'll start off tonight's classes with regards to that. We won't be getting too explicit, but we will, you know, we want to deliver the message as best as we can. So I'll let the questions, you know, guide, you know, where we're going to take these talks, inshallah. So before we proceed, the question that came up last week was with regards to divorce and annulment. So even though we will be touching on that into more detail in the weeks to come, I thought I'd just, you know, just have a look at those questions because it was the only questions that you know, it came from one person and it's the only one that came up last week. So, the divorce versus annulment. The first question was, annulment meaning the marriage is null and void from the start as if the marriage never took place. You know, what's the wisdom and purpose of this? So, let's first look at the wisdom and the purpose of annulment. So, annulment is like a safety, let's say an emergency lever. You know, there's an emergency lever. So you have gone into a contract and now you are, you know, you are bound to that contract and now you cannot leave that contract. But what happens if there's an emergency? There's danger. You know, somebody's life is in danger in terms of contracting a transferable disease. Or, you know, you were deceived. Just a weird example. I don't know if this ever occurred, but it's just an idea. Let's say the man is castrated, right? Or the females, you know, there's an impediment to having sexual relations with her. So that is one of the main ideas or purposes in marriage, one of them. So if there is somehow an impediment there, there's an emergency lever, and you can pull that emergency lever, and the marriage is annulled. That is done by the qadi. You know, you have to go to the judge, you know, now represented by the MGC, and that was discussed. It's the first body that was formed in Cape Town, you know. And that was discussed. You could go to other, you know, bodies as well. But in Cape Town, we go to the MJC, and there's an appointed quasi judge, as they say. And then, you know, that is how the annulment process will go. So, for example, if you find that the man is a, you know, he wants to beat up someone when he becomes angry, and the wife becomes in danger. Or, you know, somebody's a drug addict, and they hid that, and that's something very dangerous. Then you can pull that lever of annulment. So then the husband doesn't, you know, he doesn't cause the divorce, nor does the wife cause the divorce. The qadi would actually look at the, you know, if it is as somebody is stating it. And if it is like that, he can actually pass, he has the power to annul that particular marriage. Now the top question, is it like it never existed? Not quite. So we will discuss this in detail, but you have to look at when did this defect occur. Did the defect occur before, you know, relations? Because if it occurred before relations, that's going to affect the mahar, you know, the dowry. Does he have to still give the dowry or not? If there was relations, he still has to give the, he have to give the dowry. That will also affect as to whether there's going to be a iddah or not. You know, if there's going to be an iddah, a waiting period or not. So yes, it does affect, there is some effect after that. Then, is it necessary to disclose the prospect of this happened, there was an annulment, you have to tell the partner that there was an annulment? You don't have to do that. You know, it's not necessary, it's not compulsory, it's not going to affect the marriage contract, the new marriage contract at all. However, there is some deception. There is some deception that takes place because the man wants to marry a virgin, for example, and she might have had relations before, or he wants to marry someone that wasn't married before, and vice versa as well. The lady wants to marry someone that wasn't married before, and you are putting up a front and you are advertising yourself as someone that you're not. You know, there is some type of deception. So we might regard that as nothing, but the partner might, you know, that might be something that they want to know. So there is deception involved, and it might not be the correct ethical or moral thing to do. So these type of information should be disclosed, again, it's not compulsory. It's advisable. The third question, what are the legal implications? Well, we discussed that already with regards to the dowry. There's going to be some implications as to whether before or after relations, and also it will also affect the waiting period. I hope that gives some solace to those who asked, to the one who asked that question. So tonight we actually want to look at what is the rights of a wife. Okay, we look at the rights of a wife. In terms of once she gets married, what is her rights? And then we're going to look at the rights of the husband. All right, that's how we're going to start with this class. And I'm going to be using the Reliance of a Traveler as a navigator. You know, because just to keep us on track. Let's see. All right. So, the first, we're speaking about conjugal rights. Okay. This might be, again, we're going to just touch on the surface. We don't know who's watching out there. We don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable with their children. But there are certain things that needs to be spoken about. There are certain things in this field that is being done that is completely unlawful. Okay? Completely unlawful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, just to give you a guideline, that your spouses, nisa'ukum, it's a harth, it's a tilf. What is meant by a tilf is, if you are a farmer, okay, so this is me being not blunt, but the opposite of blunt, but you need to take a indication. If you are a farmer and you want to plant your seed, then you have to tilf the ground. So they push those plowing machines, then it like turns the soil upside down, and then you can plant the seed in there, right? You're not going to plant your seed where things don't grow. That's the idea over there. So your woman are a tilf in that sense, in terms of the conjugal rights. They are a tilf. فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ, you can go to your tilf from in any way you want. Okay? The Jews, they thought at that time, there was a group of Jews that thought that if you, let's say there's a front entrance to the tilth and there's a back entrance to the tilth, right? So they thought if you come in from the back entrance to the tilth, then the child is going to be born squint. And then this verse was revealed to say, no, that's not the case. Your woman is a tilth to you. You can go to that tilth, anna shi'tum, however you want. Okay? However you want. Now understand this. Islam, there's a lot of regulations guiding the beast. The beast that shouldn't become, it shouldn't just be let loose. There's a way to let that beast loose. Okay? We are not guided by our desires. And thus we are completely different to animals. You know, we don't just go after what we desire. Islam learns us to put a bridle on that beast so we can control that beast. So it lets us, it allows us to fulfill our desires in a way that is permissible, and everything is permissible from a with regards to a female, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, that is permissible. But obviously, remember, the seed must be planted in a tilth, not in a place where seeds cannot grow. Okay, so if you need me to be more explicit in that, then your questions are welcome. But we're speaking about the hukuk of the zawja first, of the wife. So I'm just going slightly away from the text because we just want to discuss a few points over here. So what is the rights of a wife? Number one, i'fafu zawjati awil istimta'. Generally the scholars, I'm just going to give you an overview over here. The Shafi'i don't regard this as compulsory, but it is compulsory to make sure that your wife is in a chaste state. She should not be in such a state of desire where she's desiring to do something that is haram. A husband has to see that her needs are met, that her desires are fulfilled. So, this might seem something very obvious. Because of the mainstream media out there, we all want to be heroes, and we think we're going to be heroes and save the day. And the first night, sometimes you become from hero, as Monoma, what would they say, from hero to zero, right? In one night. And this leads to feelings of inferiority. You need to see a doctor, you need to see all of this, because the expectations is not understood. That is a science that must be explored. Nobody wants to speak about that, right? Bilkulli fan in rijal. For every science, there is men to teach that science. There is a study, right? There is an activity. It's a physical activity. It's an emotional activity. It's a mental activity. And there's a science towards that, right? There's do's and don't do's. So a wife has the right to be fulfilled. It's so sad, even though it's very difficult to speak about. It's so sad that men don't sleep with their wives. And they deprive their wives from sexual relations for a long time, and they go, and it's hurtful to them. It's hurtful to them. And this sometimes goes on for weeks and months, and sometimes even years, okay, where her needs are not met, okay, where her needs are not met. So suffice to say, it is compulsory for a man to see that her wife is chaste with regards to that, in that regards. So it's not just all about taking, it's about giving as well, all right? It will also lead us to a discussion later on when it comes to contraceptive. And you have the natural contraceptive, which is called coitus interruptus, you're filling up the tank, but the petrol attendant, you pull the thing out before you fill the tank, and you already paid for the tank, So the driver's going to get quiet because the petrol is now, you're supposed to wait until the tank is full. So we're going to speak about that. Is that permissible, etc.? So we'll get there. So a wife has to be fulfilled. Well, we can, with the coitus interruptus thing. Okay, let's just wait. Secondly, يَحْرُمُ الْوَطْفِ فِي الدُّبُرْ لِقَوْلِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I'll translate this hadith for you. So the dubur is opposite to the qubul. The qubul is the front, a private part, and the dubur is the back. Alright? So the Prophet ﷺ makes this hadith, so I'm not going to translate that again. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah is not shy of the truth. لَا تَأْتُ النِّسَاء. Do not approach your woman. فِي أَدْبَارِهِنَّ. فِي أَدْبَارِهِنَّ. That means that is haram. Approaching a female from the rear side is haram. Now when we say that, we remember, put this with the hadith, or put this with the verse. Nisa'ukum harthu lakum. Your women are a tilth. You can approach that tilth from anyway, so long as you're planting the seed in the tilth. Okay? And the seed shouldn't be planted in the, again, you don't want to take the nozzle. So this is as implicit as I can be. I can't, putting the nozzle in the exhaust pipe. That is haram. That is haram. And as funny as that might seem, as difficult that is to speak about, this sometimes happen in certain parts of our community, and you find out that the wife complains years later about something like this, right? It is haram, it is a sin, okay? There are hadith against that, right? Very explicit a hadith, ملعون من أتى امرأة في دبرها. As a matter of fact, those who practice those type of actions, they are cursed. Okay, they are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be wary and be very careful of that. Okay. والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم. Then, you know, we're not going to speak about slavery at that time. It's not applicable. So we'll just skip that completely. Then عزل. عزل, this is called coitus interruptus, right? عزل. إلقاء مني, yeah. So coitus interruptus, why would somebody do this? This is a natural means of contraceptive, okay? There are certain cycles that woman goes through. And if you can understand that cycles, you'd know that she's more prone to fall pregnant at certain times of the month. And certain times of the month, she won't fall pregnant. The chance is extremely low, right? So if you are going through, you want to practice contraceptive, the first thing is it permissible? Is it not permissible? What do you think? What do you think? Contraceptive permissible or not permissible? So here's the argument against the fact that it is permissible, that look, if Allah wants you to have children, you'll have children. If you're not going to have children, you're not going to have children. It doesn't matter what you do. So again, with that regards, do you think it's permissible or not permissible? True. A good counter argument. So if Allah wants you to have children, even with a contraceptive, you will have children. So it is permissible, provided your understanding is correct. You understanding that you cannot stop what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends. So the Prophet ﷺ actually asked about azl. Why would they want to practice azl? Because they wanted to sleep with certain women folk. Sometimes they were slaves, but they didn't want children from them. So the azl took place where you know, the satisfaction, so to say, would take place outside of the lady. The Prophet ﷺ responded to them saying, "Isna'u ma bada lakum, do what you want. Fama qada Allahu ta'ala fa wa ka'in, what Allah is going to, you know, what Allah wants will happen. And walaysa min kulli al-ma'i yakunu al-walad." The Prophet ﷺ says, the logic behind this is not every, you know, if you were to satisfy yourself within your spouse, it doesn't mean you're going to have children, right? And it doesn't mean if you satisfy yourself outside of your spouse, it doesn't mean you're not going to have children. Okay, there is a science behind that. I'm not going to go into detail with regards to that unless I'm asked how is that possible. Then we can speak about that, inshallah. But there's something very, very serious we need to discuss here. And I'm going to go beyond the shyness that I might feel to protect I know our sisters. If you are going to practice coitus interruptus, understand that you might be hurting the female. You might be hurting them. No, but you know, she's not going to complain to anyone. You know, if she gets hurt, she might complain to someone about something physical, but this is something that can be shameful. This is something that nobody's going to really complain to someone else about. And she might be, you might be harming her for many, you know, for a long time. So you must make sure you have her permission. According to the Shafi'iyya, it is makruh without her permission. Okay, so you need to request of her, you know, and then also, men has to be physically fit. This is you need to be fit, you know, because it's an exercise that you need to endure. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask those who know if you don't know. So again, we shy to speak about this. I'm just opening up the discussion. I did allude to the fact that I do feel that there has to be a dedicated class to intimacy, but this is, you know, it's not the platform. I'm making mention of this is because men, be careful of how you treat your wives in the bedroom. You're going to be questioned in the court of Allah. You will be questioned in the court of Allah. You have no right to hurt your females. And you have no right to deprive them from satisfaction. That is the reason they got married to you. They are your trust, and you have to look after them. They are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very, very, you know, it's hurtful to hear that females do not feel satisfaction, either because their husbands simply don't care. You know, they are more concerned of not having children, and they make azl, this coitus interruptus, and the female is left unsatisfied, and she doesn't want to complain to anybody. Right? So be wary of that and be careful of that. This is a trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guide us with regards to all matters in life. Okay? The fourth thing is to live with Him in a beautiful way. عَاشِرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Now, this is you have to put this in context in terms of society. So Allah doesn't say you need to hug your wife four times a day. Nor does Allah say you need to at least see her in the morning and in the evening. Or you need to visit her in the afternoon. Or, you know, you must bring home flowers or you must bring home food. Or that is dictated, that is translated in terms of society. So this is very important if you look at kafa'a. Compatibility, and you need to look at compatibility. Look at what type of lifestyle she has, and you try to provide her with the equal lifestyle, unless she says it's okay. But you need to know what she's in for. She need to know what type of environment she's going to be dealing with. If she's going to be sharing a kitchen, she needs to understand what is the do's and don'ts. If she's going to be sharing a household, she needs to understand what is the do's and don'ts. Again, females are treated like slaves. Right, they are treated like slaves in certain families, and you know, this is because they might feel that they come from they are a better family, and she's from a lower family, and she's treated like a slave. You know, it goes sometimes for the man as well, where he's treated like someone that is. But generally, it's more to the females than the males. So live with them in a beautiful way. If it is our tradition that, you know, you bring flowers, this is our culture. So we have a cultural thing and we have a traditional thing as well. You need to look at both. If the culture is conducive, if the culture is good, Islam can accommodate those particular, you know, if it's a birthday, for example. Okay, this is not even a hot topic, and I know people make a big thing about this. Like, you know, it's bid'ah. That story is a long time gone, you know, where action is considered to be bid'ah. The bidah is your actually i'tiqad, you know, is your belief. But for example, if she's used to practicing a birthday and she expects something over there, maybe you must tell her happy birthday. People watching this are going to say, you know, this is bidah, this is haram. That's just, you know, being unscholaristic, and I'll make that statement, right? This is not bidah. You treat her in a kind way, in a way that she expects to be shown kindness. And ladies, they have their own idea and the own way in which kindness should be interpreted. Learn the language of females. Females don't have the same language as men have, right? Men say things and they mean it. Ladies say things and they don't mean it. So when she says that everything is bothering me, and then it's just one thing, you know, or there's no problem that needs to be solved. It's just her emotions that is expressed on her tongue, and nothing needs to be solved. She simply needs to be validated. It's nothing you must do. It's just you must understand she's going through a difficult time. So this is all living with females in kindness. Okay, allow ladies' tongues are sometimes looser than that of a man. Okay, therefore the talaq is given to the male because the male's tongue is a little bit tight. The emotion is not just going to spill out. Mind you, some men is like that. They're more feminine, so they're quick to give the word of talaq, which should never come across our lips unless we intend that. But that is not given to the female because it will happen quite often. You know, more often than not, maybe monthly, they would want to talaq you, right? 12 times a year, every year, for the rest of your life. That is how. So Allah allows them some leeway, okay? So we shouldn't treat them, we shouldn't be too rigid with them, okay? And in the same way, ladies should learn to respect the husband. Respect men's decision. The guy's driving down the road and he's navigating, and she feels he's taking all the wrong roads. He's driving too fast, he's driving too slow. Men are mechanical, it's a mechanical thing. When it comes to mechanical thing, men don't like to be told. Even though they're wrong, they don't like it. So you need to respect decisions. Not everything is stupid. No, you're not always making the... So learn to respect the decision, make him feel like a man, make him feel like a leader, and then he will lead. Then he will learn to be accommodating to your emotions as well. So these are living with each other in kindness. Conflict resolution, you will understand conflict resolution is also part of living in kindness. How do you manage your problems? How do you deal with your problems? And this is also what the Prophet ﷺ, gives us many ideas of how to actually solve our problems. You know, the idea of don't go to bed, fighting. Is that the idea? Yeah, don't go to bed fighting. No, don't go to bed angrier. But they don't tell you the other part. What's the other part? Rather stay up and fight, Nothing like that. So, there are certain guidelines. For example, watch your tongue. You know, words like an arrow set loose. So be careful. Rather, freeze. In other words, if especially men, freeze. When the words are coming, don't have to respond. Just freeze. If you can't do that, flight. And then the last thing you don't do is fight. When I speak about fight, I'm talking about like engage in an argument. You'll never win. It's impossible. Right? You cannot win an argument with a female. It's not possible, right? So these are all living with kindness, understanding the differences, and this is actually what marriage is all about. Conflict resolution, how do you solve your problems? Not avoiding problems. You're going to have a problem. A marriage with no arguments is a marriage that's actually going to end very soon. It's a marriage where people don't express their emotions. The wife is too scared to say anything. And the husband doesn't really want to engage his wife, and he don't want to say what's on his mind because he's scared of an argument. So that's a marriage going down. Marriage that have arguments, but it's controlled and conflict resolution, that's a good marriage. This is just an idea. Ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf, live with him in kindness. If you are a father, allow your daughter to make mistakes, allow your son to make mistakes. Especially mothers, allow your son to make his own decisions, allow the daughter-in-law to make her own decisions. They also have to walk their path in life. And part of freedom is we are allowed to make mistakes. I didn't marry your mother, I married you. Okay? So that is goes on both sides. And I didn't marry your father, I married you. Normally when you want to have a discussion with a wife, then the father must come in. It doesn't have to be like that. Ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf, live with him in a beautiful way. Okay? That is the idea of marriage. So if you're thinking everything we're saying is just rigid, coming from this class, that class, it's not like that at all. Okay, there's a whole other science of intimacy and emotions and all of those things. And that's the real crux we need to get to. Okay, that's the real questions that needs to actually come up. Men needs to feel like men, and females need to feel like females. They must be respected. Okay, it's a swap of rights and duties. Then, al-adl bayna niswa. So this is if you have more than one wife, then you have to be just between the four of them. In our society, it is not advisable, generally not advisable. In each individual case, we can look at the cases, and in sometimes it might be advisable, but generally this is not advisable. The opinion of our teacher, and there are other opinions out there, and you are allowed to disagree, but generally the opinion was that the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is to stay with the wife, one wife, because she was the one that was with you in times of difficulty. She saw you grow, from one degree to the next degree. It is not really fair in this opinion that when a man, reaches a certain age and he is established in terms of his wealth, then he wants to take another wife. Then the one that was standing with you through thick and thin, she has to step aside now. And she has to accept someone in a presence. And you pull out the card that it is permissible. Not everything that is permissible is advisable. Okay, so my personal view that I'm sharing with you, that I'm sharing with Mufti Taha, rahimahullah, and many other scholars, is stick to one wife, especially in the society. If, however, there is a need, Islam doesn't prohibit you from taking another wife. It doesn't prohibit you from taking another wife. But rather look at all the implications. Don't just look at your nafs. If you're following your nafs, you're going to have a problem. Because what if you eat number four and now you want another wife? That is haram. This also brings us to another discussion of LGBT and all of those things. We don't want to go into detail with that. But Islam only allows sexual relations in a marriage, in a valid marriage between a man and a female. All right, that is when sexual gratification can happen from one person to the next. Again, we're not looking at slavery here. It's not really prevalent or relevant in our times. It can only happen between a male and a female. From a male to a male, it's haram. From a female to a female, that is also haram. From a human to an animal, it's haram. Right? There are certain, that is just completely prohibited, and no valid school would actually allow anything like this. No valid school of thought. You will get isolated ideas always. Okay, reading the text in the wrong way, it is totally haram, it has always been haram, it's not a gray area, it's a black and white area. Having relations with same sex is completely haram. Having the desire to have relations with the same sex is not haram. That isn't haram. That emotions that you might be feeling, there's a place for that in Islam. You can verbalize that emotions, go to someone and say, I'm having these emotions. And then that would have to be directed, and counseling will have to be take place. But remember, keeping that desires back, you'll get rewarded. Acting on that desires is haram. If you act on that desires, you are a sinner and still in the fold of Islam. If, however, you want to make the argument that it is permissible to have relations with the same sex, then you are out of the fold of Islam. Why? Because you have denied something that is known of the religion by one and all. It's not something that you need to figure out. This one says that, that one says that. All scholars say the same thing. The act is haram. So if the action is done, the person is a sinner. He has to make tawbah. Allah can forgive him. He can still attain Jannah. He can still be protected from the fire of Jahannam. He's a sinner, like any other sinner. But if he argues that this is permissible in Islam, then you are not talking about the Islam that we're talking about. That is something else. You are out of the religion of Islam. It might be a touchy subject, but we're not scared to speak about this. This is black and white. Again, we're not going to ostracize anybody. We don't, we have justice to everybody. If somebody verbalizes that, he has to be treated with respect. She has to be treated with respect and kindness. We don't, we're not racist in that, against anybody. Violence against anybody, we don't make anybody feel bad. That is not part of a Muslim, okay? It's not part of a Muslim. All we're saying is that the act is haram, okay? And we're not saying that. Allah says that very explicitly in the Quran. And the Prophet ﷺ says that very explicitly. The desires that you feel doesn't take you out of the fold of Islam. It doesn't make you a sinner as well. The desires must be kept back. Mind you, something you might not realize. Some people that have an attraction to the same gender also have an attraction to the opposite gender. It might not be the same, it might not be the strong, but the desires can be fulfilled. Okay? You get something called kleptophilia. No, that's the word, it's kleptophile. Somebody wants to steal. He has this desire to steal. He has money, but he wants to steal. It's a strong desire. Where does it come from? He doesn't maybe know. He needs to steal. That emotions that you feel doesn't take you out of the fold of Islam. If you steal, you are going to get punished because it is haram to steal. If you keep back that emotion, you will get rewarded. If you fulfill your desire in a correct way by buying that, this is what we are requesting. This is the outlet for your satisfaction. Okay? So, and if you strive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up doors. Many a times, if you look at these people in these categories, and you look at the lives they lived, and you look at the past, you'll find that some scholars say that this is due to some abnormality, something happened, there was an accident, there was something in the upbringing. Many cases. I'm no expert on that, and that is a gray area. So that is my own personal opinion, that's my own personal reading to the issue, all right? Dr. Zakir Naik has that same opinion. He says that he's a doctor, and he says in all the cases that he came across, the person actually knocked the head. That's what he said. You can go check that up. Okay, so I think we can move on from that. So we need to make sure that ladies are treated well, and understand that ladies are jealous. If you're going to take another wife, it's going to harm her. That's going to harm them. Again, this might be permissible in some cases. Some guys can pull it off, and both women can be very happy. They can be loved. There's no problem with that. We're not saying it's possible. Generally, it's not advisable, because generally it doesn't work in our society. The second marriage breaks up, and the first marriage breaks up as well. Families become destroyed. So men, do not act on desire, complete desire. Is it permissible? Yes. If you want to do it, you can. Nobody can stop you because Allah has allowed it. Just understand, it might not be advisable. All right? So let's move on. Now we're looking at the rights of a husband. Okay, what is the rights that a husband has? Number one, the obedience of his wife, the obedience of a wife to the husband. I'm just looking at this hadith. لو كنت آمرا أحدا أن يسجد لأحد لأمرت المرأة أن تسجد لزوجها. This is a hadith that's sometimes misunderstood, because if you look at it, it's kind of like it can be placed as an it can be understood wrong. The Prophet ﷺ says that if I could have commanded anyone to bow down to anyone else, it would be that a lady would bow down to a man. What type of bowing down is this? This is that men have certain rights. She has to obey him. In terms of what? Does she has the amount of power that he has? She does. Why is she a follower? Why is a man a leader? Because both can't be a leader. There's going to be turmoil, right? There's going to be turmoil. This whole feminist movement, which we just, you know, we spoke about this not too long ago in the 1970s that came up, where females want equal rights, not equity, they want equal rights. Not understanding that ladies have different needs, men have different needs, and thus Allah has assigned different duties to each one of them. So a man, a lady must obey a husband when he is leading her correctly. The minute he commands her to do something that's going to harm her, something that is immodest, something that is, you know, unjust towards her, she says, I choose not to obey you. So she obeys him out of choice, because this is the position that she chooses. All right? And what must she obey her for? Does he tell her sit? And she says, and she said, stand, she stand. Nobody on the planet understands things like that. You know, this is when she is, you know, the husband in a general sense that says that, look, I prefer you not leaving the house because it's after 8, because it's dangerous. We stay in a dangerous area. I don't want you to go to the shop. If for example, I'm working night shift, I prefer you staying at home. So a lady should stay at home, obeying her husband for the sake of Allah. Okay, she should obey her husband for the sake of Allah. He's commanding her to do what is just, right? What is good, he should look out for her. That is why he's commanding her. If he sees that she does not know how to perform, salah, etc., he should teach her to perform salah. And vice versa as well. So a lady, she has veto power, just as much power as a man, in terms of her rights, but she doesn't take that out all the time, only when a man steps out of line. When he steps out of line, he says, look here, I don't want you to speak to your mommy anymore. I don't like her. Or, you know, you need to cut ties with your brother. I don't like him. I don't want him here anymore. She can say, no. You have overstepped your boundaries as well. And she's not alone. There's many ladies suffering out there. She doesn't know the rights that she has in Islam. You know, the Muslim community is there to protect her. She goes to the qadi and to the judge and says, my husband is treating me unjust. He's being unjust towards me. He will come in, he will get a hiding. Maybe physically, but they will reprimand him. Okay, so a lady must obey a husband. A lady that dies and obeys a husband, because it's not easy to obey the husband. It takes sacrifice, because ladies are very often more intelligent than the man, much more intelligent. So for her to obey, you know, it's nothing wrong with asking why you're saying this and to discuss the matter, but she must understand this shura. Did the Prophet ever obey his wives? Of course. Did he take counsel with his wives? Of course. At the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, he told the Sahaba, you need to slaughter, and nobody listened. The Sahaba didn't listen. They were shocked. They were depressed. They thought they're going to enter Makkah, and now they must go back home. So they didn't listen. The Prophet didn't understand. He's commanding them to do something. It's a command. And they didn't listen. So he spoke to his wife and she said, I don't know what's wrong with these guys. They're not listening to me. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just putting it in context. She says, look, they're just shocked. They don't understand. All you need to do is just go out and slaughter, and you'll see they'll do the same. And then he takes the counsel of his wife, and that's what happens. So counseling, you need to make shura with your wife, mashura. Okay? And then whatever decision is reached there mutually, the man say, okay, I agree. And because he agreed, that would be his command, and she would be obeying him like that. It's not about being subservient. That is not what it's about. It's about both people cannot take the same role. Okay? So I hope that is clear. It's not about being subservient at all. It's just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given certain rights to the female that is different to the male. When it comes to decision making, one must make the decision. It cannot both make the decision. And Allah has given that right to a man. Okay? And Allah has advised him to treat her with kindness, to take a mashura, and then he makes the decision. All right. Again, if he were to tell her to do something wrong, in other words, she says, look, I don't know how to perform salah properly. And I want to go to a class to learn how to perform salah. So either you teach me to perform salah, or you teach me to recite the Quran, or I'm going to a class. Right? That's your choice. So the husband in that case cannot say, you can't go. She said, yeah, you can say what you want. Allah has given me the right. That is when she doesn't have to obey him at all. All right? And examples like that. So number two, al-amana ala zawjati an tahfaza ghaibata zawjiha. So look, the idea is men were usually traditionally out of the house most of the time, and traditionally females were in the house most of the time. And it's not just when she's in the house or out the house. It's not a lady that cannot work, etc. But she has to protect his honor, his dignity, his belongings when he's not there. Because he protects his belongings and her when he's present. So it's a mutual thing. That so when he's gone, we're going to protect. You know, we're not going to allow any man to just walk into the house. How do you feel you come home and there's guy sitting over there waiting for you to come home and she's entertaining them? So she shouldn't allow people like that in the space. You know, and even females that he's not pleased with. There might be a lady that is a bad company. You know, she might be on drugs or she might be a bad influence. The husband says, I don't want this female here. Then she shouldn't allow him. She shouldn't allow that female to be there. But remember, this is not veto rights. You know, when we learn nikah and we think, yeah, we got all the rights, and the lady's just going to say, I obey. You got something else coming. You need to treat your wife like the Prophet ﷺ treated his wives to the best of our ability in order for them to treat us, you know, like the way we want to be treated. Ladies are very powerful, extremely powerful creatures, you know, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can control you like you don't know what's happening, right? They have another sense. You know, Leah's a typical example. She goes to her husband and say, can I go to my mommy? And you think, I don't think so. All right? Because I just exercised my right. She's, you know what she says? Okay, fine. I can't go. And now she doesn't speak to you. What's wrong? Nothing. Nothing's wrong. The guy's getting angry. You're getting angry because I said no? No, I'm not angry. Don't get upset. And the guy's whole day is spoiled because he wants to act like a, you know, you want to act like a tyrant. She has lots of power, you know, even though it's not like physical things in terms of her rights, but ladies are very powerful. So you need to treat them in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided you to treat them. Look how the Prophet treated his wives. Okay, look how he treated his wives. He was intimate with his wives as well, and that is also in hadith, that is also part of our legacy. There are books written on that. You might be surprised to be intimate with your wife. There are books written on that. Again, this is difficult to speak about, but many people, there's a whole thing of being impotent. Like there's a whole section in the pharmacy, there's a whole organization, there's a whole campaign. I'm getting to that, I'm not actually looking, there's a word I'm looking for. Advertising bombardment with regards to this. Many monies are made out of this. It is being exploited, okay? Islam has the answer, Islam has the key. Okay, so again, ask those who know. If you do not know, there are people in those fields, there are books in those fields. Don't go to the wrong books, right? Don't go to the wrong books, don't go to the wrong people, especially in this particular field. All right, then al ma'ashara bil ma'ruf. A lady has to live with her husband in a beautiful way. The Prophet ﷺ says, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِ فِتْنَةً هِيَ أَضَرُّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. I haven't left a fitna greater to you, O men, than that of women. They can be an angel or they can be a devil. It's up to you. How are you going to treat them? And they will reciprocate. Okay? The best gift a man can have is a suitable spouse, not a pious spouse, a suitable spouse. All right? And the opposite of that is true as well. So she needs to treat her husband in a beautiful way. Okay, don't always put him down. Don't make him feel bad. Don't always question his judgment. It can happen sometimes, but don't do it on a continuous basis, because you're going to break him down and he don't feel like a man anymore. And if he doesn't feel like a man, he won't feel like a leader. If he doesn't feel like a leader, he's not going to guide you anyway. And he's not going to be very accommodative to your emotions. That, you know, come a certain time of the month, ladies get moody. And they want to be, you know, moody. They want to be angry. They want to say certain things. And men have to allow them to say those things. They have to allow them to complain. They have to allow them to become a bit angry. But that's not going to happen. If the lady doesn't treat her husband with respect, then he's not going to treat her with compassion. Ladies are more emotionally driven. Men are more mechanically driven. There's this left brain, right brain thing that people speak about. You can, look that up. The right brain is your very autistic, feminine, or emotional side, and the left side is your very mechanical side. So men are more mechanical, and ladies are more emotional. Okay, so ladies should treat their husbands with respect. حق التأديب للزوج. So في تأديب زوجتها عند نشوزها. Now, ladies sometimes do not want to obey their husbands, and there's a system that they need to go through. And that system is, what is this? Where's the verse? That's that very, yeah, here you go. وَهْجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَضْرِبُهُنَّ. So the first one is, advise them. So if they don't listen, you need to speak to them. Okay, you need to speak to them. Can't find that first part of the verse. وَهْجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ, just before that. Yeah, فَعِذُوهُنَّ, give them advice. Look, you went out, I told you not to go out. She says, yes, I had to go out, I needed something from the shop, and you know, I didn't really, it's not really a big thing. She said, look, it's not really a big thing, but something bad could have happened. You know, and I told you not to do it, I prefer you don't do that again. Either she says, look, I'll just do what I want to do. You know, you're not going to tell me where to go and when to go. I'm my own person, you know. If I want to go to my parents, when I want to go, I will go. I'm not going to ask you. If I want to go to the shops, I'll just go to the shops. I'll come back whatever time I want to. And don't also phone me. I will do what I want. If a lady starts acting like that, then she's called nashiz, not najis, no? Nashiz. Then you need to go through a process. You need to speak to her. Then she either says, look, I'm sorry, I didn't know it's so a big thing. I thought I'm just going to the shop because I usually do that. But now I know it means so much to you, I'm not going to go. Okay, then it's fine, then you stop. But if she doesn't, then you go to degree number two, where you separate from her in the bedroom. Don't go sleep somewhere else. No? It don't mean go to another house and go sleep there. It just means sleep on the floor or sleep on the couch. Because the idea is to make her a little bit vulnerable, to make her miss you a bit, and to make her realize that despite the enjoyment I can have laying next to you, because we're so close, we lay every night, I'm going to separate from you because that's going to hurt you a little bit and it's going to make us feel lonely a bit. I'm doing that until you say sorry. Ladies normally in this day say, ach, you want to go sleep outside? They throw your cushion or so. Eh, sleep my leg outside on the floor, you know. Then actually, okay, sometimes. Sometimes they do if you have a very loving relationship. And then the third part, and this is very contentious. وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ, beat them. Okay, if they don't want to listen, beat them. This needs to be understood in its context. So does Islam allow beating a female or not? So that's the question I'm going to put out there now. Oh, that's a question. Anyone can please respond to that. Does Islam allow a man to beat his wife? I'm looking for the hadith, yeah. There's a hadith I'm looking for. Yeah, there you go. Does Islam allow a man to beat his wife? What you say? You're not on camera, I'm on camera. That's fine. Would you allow a man to beat your daughter with a miswak? Huh? Sorry? It's not a beating. With a miswak. Miswak, get big miswaks. If that just threw something, buy the biggest miswak you can have. What do you say? What context? You say, so it's permissible, first of all. What in what context? But the Quran is not in the Arabian context. It's in context to all places and all times. So the idea again, if that idea is prevalent then, it's prevalent now. So would you say it's permissible then, by the way? Could men beat their wives in that context? Sorry? With a miswak. Okay. Anybody else? Anyone says not permissible? What'd you say? Astaghfirullah, it's permissible. Okay, now let's hear. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But you still say it's permissible to beat your wife. You just say not at all. Allah says, Wadribun, right? Okay? Okay. Hey, what do you say? Even that's also very short. Okay. But would you allow a man to beat your daughter like that? But so that's what we're trying to see. Is Islam promoting justice or not? So the whole thing about this verse is, number one, the first view is there is beating allowed. The beating is not to cause hurt at all. The beating is to for a man to get his frustration out. By beating her, but like, is there something over here? Like this here, right? Say here's a pen. It's going to have to be like this, right? Like that. So it's not really going to hurt her. And then again, it can't be in the face. It can't be in any part of a body that might cause harm. So it can be like, for example, the onomasi on the thigh. So like that, okay? So those scholars that say it's permissible, that's the conditions. It can't cause harm. It's not to harm, it's just to get your frustration out. But let me tell you the hikmah and the wisdom of this verse. Would you agree with me that every government, democratic or good government around the world, established government, they deem it unlawful to beat females? You would agree with me? Right? Even in our government, it's unlawful. Domestic violence, they'll lock you up. Would you agree with me that law don't stop men from beating their wives? In every society, in every single society, there are men that beat females. Every single society. So the hikmah of the Quran is, it knows this. There's men that simply won't listen. They won't listen. So it's not an encouragement for men that don't beat their spouses to beat their spouses. This is for that very, very minority of men that cannot control themselves except but to act in a violent way, to control that violence. So if you cannot stop yourself because you're going to hit your spouse, if you're that minority and you cannot control your anger, you are a coward, for example. You're a coward. Nobody is giving you praise for beating your wife. You're not practicing on the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ at all. You are of that selected few that cannot control your temper. You are a coward. You couldn't speak to your wife properly. You couldn't live with her properly. And now you want to take the hand that was designed to protect her and you want to turn it against her. Such a person then is allowed to, for example, take a blade of grass and beat her in a way that is not disgraceful. So like on a thigh. That's to get his frustration out and to protect her. So this verse is coming to take hitting and beating away from society, not to place it in society. You understand? This is not an encouragement for men that will never beat their wives to beat their wives. This is to, you know, to put a protective mechanism for those men that will still hit no matter what. In that case, then you know your daughter is safe. and your mother is safe, no matter, you know, if she's unfortunate to have a husband like that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's see what he did. ما ضرب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم امرأة له ولا خادما. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never struck a wife and a female for that matter, nor did he strike a servant. ولا ضرب بيده شيئا. He never hit anything, cut ever. He didn't get angry and beat the walls, etc. إلا في سبيل الله, only in the path of Allah. That's the only way you're going to see mix, you know, see might. I forgot the time completely. What is, when do I stop? No, but I mean, the when do I normally stop? I totally got the... Okay, so I started at 1:45. So, next 2 minutes, inshallah. And then it's good, yeah, that's an hour. So again, this verse is to take away hitting, not to place hitting there. Alright? So nobody should think that Islam encourages beating their wives or beating a child, etc. You know, you have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet. This is taking verses and hadith out of context for men that are cowards. Okay? And they beat their wives and they say, yes, this is what Islam promotes. Never does Islam promote violence. In such a case, the way the wife goes to the qadi, says, my husband is a coward, look at what he's done to me, then an annulment is going to be given. They'll call the husband and they'll say, listen, if you don't say sorry now, and you don't promise us that this is never going to happen, that she feels safe, we will break your marriage up. Okay, we don't need you to give a talaq. We will break your marriage up. Alright? This is obviously, we can't accept every claim. A lady comes and says, my husband beat me. We can't just say, yes, the marriage is going to be annulled. You need to investigate. Maybe she just said so because she wants the marriage to break up. So that's why an investigation has happened. That's why people get frustrated. They come to the MJC and they said, look, we told you that this lady's being beat and you're doing nothing. 3 weeks has passed. But we're waiting for the husband. We need to speak to the husband. You know, understand there's a limited amount of staff as well. People think that imams is superhuman. They don't have a right to their own lives. I can say it because I'm not an imam. He can't think for himself. We're going to watch him, how he makes salah, how he makes dua, we can listen how he recites, we're going to see how he dresses in the mall, we're going to watch his whole life, and we're going to make his life a living jahannam, right? So you people have to understand, and then also, where were you all the years, when they need to show support, when we need to learn how to deal with our spouses? So nobody's to be blamed. If a lady is a victim of violence, it has to be investigated. So this is just saying, people get frustrated because they want it to happen now. The first thing we say to females, go to the police. You know, if a man is beating you, go to the police, get an interdict. And then go to the MDC, because we don't have a police force. There's no police force over there. We're just basically going to annul the marriage. But the violence that's happening over there has to be physically stopped. Go to your parents, go to your brother, etc. Go seek protection immediately. You are not supposed to stay in a place where you're going to get hurt. It's haram. You cannot even accept that. Nobody's allowed to hurt you. Okay, I think that's it. I got 1 minute left. Are there any questions though? I spoke about men's rights and females' rights. Again, men are allowed to have, you know, intimacy with their wife in any way they want. Everything is going to be permissible. Some things are makruh, but everything is permissible. There's only one thing that is haram, and that is if, entering from the wrong side, entering into the wrong place. That is going to be haram, but everything else is permissible. Right? You can fulfill your innermost desires over there. You can dress like Superman, you can dress like Superman as well. You know, if you want to, anything. Your fantasies can play out over there. So, are there any questions with regards to that? So, next week, I'm not going to mention that again. Questions? Yeah. 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 So this is again, عاشرهن بالمعروف, love them in a kind way. So there is a minimum where she needs to have clothes for the season to protect her from the weather. That's bare minimum. But that's not living with them in kindness. If you can afford to take your wife shopping and buy her clothes that ladies in her category gets, so she can dress herself in a dignified way, so you need to go to Checkers, and that's living, I mean, who goes to, you know, wherever you need to go, into Canal Walk, and you go buy your things, and that's what people do, then that is living with her in kindness. Yeah. So it's not stipulated as in exactly what. Yeah. That's a very tricky situation. It's a very sensitive situation. Because sometimes a lady earns more than a man, and a man feels inferior. And he feels that he wants to provide, but she also wants to be the provider. Over there, she must make a very, very... A man must make sure he's giving more than he's taking. And a lady must make sure that she's receiving more than she's giving. Her money that she contributes is sadaqah. Sadaqah. And the husband needs to understand that. She doesn't have to give him a cent. Okay? And she can loan him anything. If he can't make it 1 month, she can loan him, but she doesn't have to. His side is that is compulsory. Okay? So when the roles get swapped around over there, then you find that traditional values going out the window, and the lady also wants to be the provider, and then she also wants to make the decisions. Then the men become intimidated and they become more feminine. And this is where, you know, the lady starts acting like a mother, and too much mothering is smothering, and nobody finds there. You know, they're not going to have sexual feelings towards their pair, and this leads to a guy's not even finding their wives attractive anymore. This is common. You'll find that. It's a concept, and we can discuss it further next week, inshallah. But a lady doesn't have to pay anything towards what must be, you know, clothes and food and that type of a thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I wasn't very clear there, right? I went quickly off. Yeah. Azan. Coitus interruptus. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Be harmed. Yes. Yeah. 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 Yes. Yeah. So the idea of contraceptive, it is allowed. But what's very important over there is why. The couples need to understand why. There's an ethical current that runs through these things, not a fake perspective. The ethical current is that the purpose of marriage, the Prophet ﷺ, for example, said, "Tanakahu wa takatharu," or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, get married, have a lot of children, because I want to brag on the day of Qiyamah about your numbers. So there's many, the Prophet ﷺ also said, marry al-wadud al-walud, marry those females that are loving and those that can have lots of children. So there is an encouragement very strongly to have children. So when someone doesn't want to have children, you're going against the grain of that, so you need to ask why. If it's for material things, they want to get something out of material value, like they don't want to spend on their children, then we say this is against the current of Islam. It's against some of the values of Islam, even though it is permissible. And when they want to take the contraceptive, a doctor, the best thing to do this is for medical purposes. For example, the lady fell pregnant, she had a baby, so you know, for her to have a baby immediately and not give a body rest, it's you know, it's a medical problem. Then in that case, you can take any contraceptive, whether it's condoms, whether it's tablets, whether even if there's a permanent solution, though, that is not something that is advisable in Islam, to have a permanent solution for something that is not a medical issue. If, for example, the doctor says, look, if this lady falls pregnant again, her life is going to be in danger, then you can actually go for something permanent, because you don't want to risk a life. For you with me? So contraceptives is permissible. It's not advisable unless there is a valid reason. And a valid reason is, for example, for a medical reason, or for a lady's sanity. You know, she needs composure. She just had a child now, and you know. So there's normally a 2 years given for that. 2 years is also very short, right? But that's normally a time that's given for her body to recover, for her mind to recover, and for her not to be suckling while she's, you know, breastfeeding while she's pregnant at the same time. So the idea again is, it is permissible, but do it for the correct reason. Zakla khair for that guy. I actually didn't go into that. I meant to. Inshallah. Ladies, no questions? feel free to send messages down, etc. We can respond to that. Barakallah. If there's no questions, we'll end over there. Jazakum khair. Kenda? If that day comes and your wife is stronger than you and you can't block, may Allah protect us all. But you ask that, there is actually that happens where ladies beat their husbands. They beat their husbands and they abuse their husbands. And it was my fault not to speak about it. I'll discuss that next week. But she's not allowed to beat him at all. Not to cause harm to him in any way. Barakallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.